Thank you. You may be seated. So today's scripture, it began on the sixth day of creation, like I talked with the kids earlier about. The time period where God created the creatures of the land, humans, and most importantly, establish what eats what and who eats who, so we can end the arguments about that. But joking aside about the scriptures there, we've come to a point where there are some serious problems we have to face, especially as a country. To dive right in, we've seen what unregulated capitalism and industrialization does to nature, so much so we gave birth to the EPA. Because we should not have to fear rivers catching on fire like the Cuyahoga did in the 1960s twice. The first time they didn't get a picture of it, the second time they did. And then on the Hudson between 1947 and 77, GE dumped an estimated 1.3 million pounds of polychlorinated biphenyls into the Hudson River. PCBs, they just cause all sorts of bad things to happen. Once they're introduced to the food chain, especially to apex creatures like ourselves. PCBs were so bad in the Hudson River mud that GE was forced to dredge out what they called hot spots of it. But then questions arose about what happened to the silt and the mud that floated downriver, essentially being freed from its watery grave there and given new life. Around that same time period, roughly 40 years ago, the bald eagle was in danger of extinction throughout most of its range, not just from habitat destruction, from people popping shots off at them as they were flying around, and the contamination of what it ate. And was that pesticide, DDT, I didn't even try to spell that one out, that decimated the eagle population as well as other large, long-lived birds. Bald eagles were native to South Carolina, but I didn't see a wild bald eagle until 10 years ago when we lived upstate. But we've seen the recovery that can indeed happen when we decide to make changes. The brown pelican, the peregrine falcon, they have recovered as well. But it's not just limited to chemicals that we dump in the waters, that we spray in the air, factory farms. How many of y'all have seen a hog farm? They are very pleasant places, let me tell you. When hurricanes, when they hit the Carolinas, when the rains flood inland, North Carolina has many of these farms. And every farm has what we call slop ponds, wastewater ponds. And they either have to drastically drain or ensure that floodwaters do not overtake these ponds because of the filth that fills them. I remember the stench at my parents' house just over a year ago after the floodwaters from Hurricane Florence inundated my home community. The smell is hard to describe. The only way I can begin to describe is it was the odor of death and decay. It was something else to see as well, because if the floodwaters rose on a tree, every leaf that the water covered died. Riding on the highway through the swamps, through the lowlands there was a clear line of demarcation where if you lived above a certain point, you were alive, but if you lived underneath, you were dead. I cannot imagine what all was in the floodwaters if they were able to kill and destroy life in such a short period of time. But at the hog farms I was talking about, massive amounts of waste stored in those ponds, all that nitrogen, all the other chemicals, getting into the watersheds, It's just about as bad, if not worse, than what we've done to Long Island Sound with the chemical fertilizer, the untreated wastewaters. Algae blooms, fish kills. It's bad when you're surrounded by water, that basic element of creation, but that water cannot even sustain life under its surface. I remember when the humpback whales came into New York Harbor and how excited everyone was to see them because it had been decades since they had been there. Then looking at the Florida coastline along the Gulf, the sugar farms that are down there, the amount of nitrogen that gets dumped into the canals to Lake Okeechobee, the blue-green algae blooms that are happening there, the red tide that seems to be consistently plaguing the west coast of Florida. Beloveds, I'm not going to stand up here and keep recounting our past and present realities with the environment. It's tempting because I could keep going. But what I hope and pray we can highlight today is there has to be a point where each of us realizes that we cannot continue down the path of the past and even the path we are currently trotting down. We don't need one person that is practicing sustainable practices very well. Instead, what we need are 1,000 people that are attempting to change ways. When Pastor Romy and I lived upstate in the Catskills, there was a beauty of nature that just simply cannot be described. And I know so many of y'all have said the fall colors on Long Island are beautiful, but goodness me, you got to get out of this bubble. Take the scenic route up to Bear Mountain Bridge. See a part of the Hudson that still reeks of creation during this fall season, though it might be a little too late by now. See the plethora of colors that God's inscribed into the trees and into nature as they prepare themselves for a brief winter's nap. Or go to the Catskills around March during sugar season when the trees are tapped. When the days are above freezing but the nights are still well below, in preparation for spring and new life and new growth, these trees are drawing moisture up from the ground to jumpstart their lives and to prepare for the radical transformation they are about to undertake as foliage erupts from the skeleton-like branches of the tree. During this time, the sap is being drawn off the trees and boiled down to make that sweet concoction we so love and enjoy, maple syrup. So much so, I refuse to ever do log cabin again. But this is also a process that is an energy-intensive process to boil down a 40-to-1 ratio of sap to syrup. 40 gallons of sap to make 1 gallon of syrup. We went to one sugar shack up the mountain from us where they used a fuel oil-fired evaporator to make the syrup. Now, to put it in perspective, our boiler for this 23,000-square-foot building burns 14 gallons of oil per hour. Theirs burned 40 gallons per hour. To make maple syrup, he bragged his evaporator burned enough fuel to heat the entire village, which is a stretch to call it a village. But these are the things to always be mindful of, the exorbitant amount of energy required for that sweet maple syrup. By the way, New York maple syrup is far superior to Vermont. And sorry, Canada. But I guess it is important to note that things in moderation can not only be good for the body, mind, and soul, but also for God's creation, even maple syrup included. Beloveds, God has created us and tasked us with, not given us dominion over to destroy, but rather dominion over to lead with good stewardship of that with which we have been so graciously entrusted. When we start to adjust ourselves on the local level, becoming aware of what it is we are doing, consuming, and using. The small changes start to grow and impact the community around us and beyond. It's like in the desert Southwest, up until a decade or two ago, everyone wanted a nice green lawn like we have here on the East Coast in the desert. At what point do we realize that the cost is indeed too much to continue? To continue putting on the credit card for our kids to deal with after we're gone. And the raised beds on the south lawn here, and I'm going to call it that because out of 13 churches I've served, this is the only one that has had 8 acres. Those raised beds, you know, they're technically considered organic. They've not seen chemical fertilizer. And those 19 4-foot by 8-foot beds turned out over 800 pounds of produce this summer. And if you don't believe me, ask Nancy, ask Diane, ask Dorothy Kim, because they were out there picking it almost every single day for 11 weeks. What I've learned over these last 2 years about what grows well here, just wait until next year. Half-ton mark, look out. And on a related note, I hate watering grass. The most irrigated crop in America. But watering fruits and veggies to help feed those in our community, I think that's something worth claiming. I know the rules for watering here. You know, you water on even or odd days, right? Depending on the last digit of your address and the day of the week that corresponds with that, either odd or even. But you know, if Sands Point Golf Club is good enough to water every day, even in the middle of the day, I think I'll keep our 2 sprinklers on a daily basis. But you know, what I also do love is when golf courses, during times of water scarcity, only water the tee boxes and the greens. They let the fairways tend to go, and the rough, it just becomes a dusty, barren, no man's land. Church, what if we lived our lives as though those after us solely depended on us? You know, plastic is only around 160 years old. BASF, we don't make a lot of the products you buy. We make a lot of the products you buy better. And they really took plastics up a notch, especially in the 20th century. And we're now learning the impacts that it has upon God's creation. What if we decided single-use plastic isn't worth the long-term risk despite the present-day convenience? What if we just started asking questions? What if we thought about the future just as much, if not more, than we think about today? I've learned that what if is the question to ask in regards to nearly everything in our lives, but not to lose sleep or fall into complete and hopeless despair over events of the past, but instead to say, what can we do for the here and the now and for the future? Will I be able to hand the keys to the car called Earth to my kids in better shape than when the keys were given to me? What good will we do to God and ourselves if we continue down the path that we're moving? We've seen it in the waters on our own shore, but what if our souls then are like the earth? What if our very being were what we considered creation? Would that help us to see that what we're doing isn't quite sustainable when we think about the fact that what if we, as the sole being of creation, were so polluted that we could no longer support life? Think about that not only in terms of literal pollution, but also for our spiritual lives as well. If we allow them to become so polluted, at what point have we sacrificed our faith to satisfy our own desire? When have we sold ourselves out for something far less than we truly deserve? Beloved, we have to change our mode of thinking and our mode of living, because God has created each of us for something far more greater than we are realizing, but we get lost along the path. May we, as we go forward, be ever mindful of how we impact the community and the environment around us, and how that environment affects all those whom we are in relationship with as we work together in God's creation. Amen. Amen. Thanks be to God.